ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Food.
Yeah, Malta's an interesting place. Just 500,000 people live on the islands, but the Maltese diaspora, of course, is strong around the globe. Is Melbourne the biggest, one of the biggest Maltese cities in the world? Maybe. A lot of Maltese people in Australia. As there are, I mean, a bit like the Irish, as the Maltese are spread around the world. Located in the central Mediterranean between Sicily and the North African coast, Malta is often described as the crossroads of the Mediterranean. For many centuries, it's adopted the cultural influences of empires and peoples north and south and east and west. So you'd expect it to have a great and interesting food culture. And guess what? It does. Australian-born chef, food and travel photographer Simon Bahada is of Maltese heritage. He's worked as a chef and food stylist, recipe developer, photographer, authored a number of cookbooks, including the latest, which is simply called Malta. And more importantly for us, he joins us. Simon, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Very, very good to have you with us. Yeah. Tell us about Malta. Well, how many are there many Bahadas in Malta, or do they all live around the world?
It is quite a common name there. Yes, I came across it on many occasions in my trips visiting, and you could go as far to say as it's a common name. I tried to speak to some fashion retailers one day who had Bajada written out the front on the front of the store, and for me, growing up in Australia where there wasn't so many Bajadas, it was quite a surprise to see the name, and so I was keen to chat to them, but they weren't so keen to chat to me. It didn't mean much to them. Certainly not as much as it meant to me.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel a strong affiliation from? I mean, you presumably grew up in Australia, did you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel a strong affiliation for it when you go back?
Yeah, there's something that feels familiar, although, you know, obviously not growing up there, it's not. But I don't know what it is, if it's the people or in some respects, I grew up in South Australia, so the landscape's similar, a bit dry and dusty. And there's something about it that feels familiar, definitely. Mm. And, you know, going to school in Adelaide, I had a lot of friends that were actually of Maltese heritage, and we didn't talk about it much. So we didn't know really at the time when we were young that we had the same heritage. And it was later I discovered that a lot of friends actually were also partly of Maltese heritage.
Partly Maltese, yeah. I would have thought, looking where it is, you know, halfway between Sicily and North Africa, close, so it's in the Mediterranean, it's got all of that, those Mediterranean influences on its food, but you'd also think North African touches. Is it like that, or is it a melting pot for food, or does it have its own distinctive culture?
Yeah, I think it is more influenced perhaps by Italy and Sicily, but there are little flourishes that definitely come from North Africa. I would say probably more in the desserts.
Right.
There's some spices and things like the use of, well, there's a halva recipe that's commonly made. So tahini's used there, which is more North African. Things like orange blossom water, that's also used in desserts, also more North African. So, but, you know, even in some of the savory dishes, mints used quite often and spices. I remember my grandmother used to make a pasta al forno always with a little bit of some ground spice. And, you know, you perhaps wouldn't find that in Italian pasta al forno. So there are always these little twists and turns that are found in the Maltese food that certainly must be because of its geographic location and all the influence that it's had.
What are the African flavors in there?
In the pasta al forno, or
no, in Maltese food generally.
Oh well, I would say like the awesome orange blossom water that I mentioned, allspice or has various names, but you know, a lot of the desserts have this spice mix. I always describe as like a Christmas spice, you know, as cardamom and star anise.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. So those sort of spices, they appear in many of the desserts. There's a bread pudding, which, you know, uses old bread that's heavily spiced. It appears more in the desserts, I would say, the North African flavors.
Is it so? What is it? Is it mainly a vegetarian type of cuisine, or meat? Does meat feature prominently?
Yeah, it is very vegetable heavy.
A lot of Mediterranean food, actually, in that sense.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, everyone's growing something on any plot of land that they have. And every corner store is always, you know, bursting with fresh vegetables grown nearby. But meat is also is popular. You know, it's cooked very often for larger occasions on weekends,
mm-hmm.
Or celebratory occasions. And I think fish is more like, obviously surrounded by water, but the fish is more of an everyday thing. So I find that a lot more meat-heavy dishes are cooked on the weekends where there's a big group of people coming together.
Mm.
And surprisingly, you know, a lot of the dishes that are loved by Maltese are warm, winter warmers, I like to call them.
Yeah. Like what, for example?
Well, for example, you have the timpana, which is a huge baked pasta baked inside pastry. You also have the bragioli, which is rolled up beef, which is in a way cooked in a sauce, which is like a stew.
Mm-hmm.
So quite like rich dishes, which you wouldn't associate with the warm climate. But these are quite common and really adored by Maltese and made quite often. And then you have the national dish, which is rabbit. Is that right? Yeah.
So are there rabbits on? I mean, can you still ping a rabbit on Malta with your 22 or not? Or are they all raised? Are they all raised in farms?
They're all raised in farms now to supply the demand. Uh-huh. Because it really is a popular dish.
I love rabbit. Tell me how you cook rabbit Maltese style.
It's really critical to marinate the meat overnight with red wine, a lot of red wine and garlic and bay. And then the next day you pat it off, pan fry it, add back in the marinating liquid, some tomato, and cook it for a long, long time gently.
Is that right? Because rabbit's a very lean meat, isn't it? I would have thought if you cooked for a long time, it becomes very dry, no?
Well, you're cooking it in quite a lot of sauce,
right.
So you want to try and retain that sauce and not let it dry out. So you cook it with a lid, and it's actually very commonly served. You keep so much of the sauce that for an entree, you'll have pasta with just the sauce from the stew.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the entree, and then you serve the rabbit afterwards as a main course with vegetables and salad.
Is that okay? So you use some of the sauce as the dressing for the pasta as a first course?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, okay, so that's in the same way that the Italians eat pasta, not as a main course, but as a first course.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I love the recipe for pasta bead and broad bean soup. This is known as kusksu, isn't it? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are. Well done. It's a tricky one.
The kusksu are tiny little pasta beads produced in Malta. Tell me about them.
Yeah, they're really small, probably about the size of a black peppercorn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They actually have a long cooking time, around 20 minutes, despite them being small. So they're very dense. They're only made in Malta under that name, but there is something similar in Italy, and also from Sardinia you have regola or fragola. I'm not sure the pronunciation, but that's a toasted semolina, and that cooks a little faster. But that makes a great substitute.
Yeah, well, the Italians have rossini too, then, which may be a similar sort of thing, would it? Or maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, definitely. That's also a great substitute, but it's a little longer and thinner.
Yeah.
quicker cooking.
Anyway,
time.
Look it up. It's pasta bean and broad bean soup. And if you love broad beans, which I do, get into them. Delicious. All right. Well, nice to talk, great. Simon, and good luck with it too. Malta, Mediterranean recipes from the islands. It's out in the shops now. Terrific. Great talking with you. Thank you.
Chatting to you, Philip.
Great.
Thank you.
You too. Simon Bajada from Malta and the book, the cookbook is called Malta.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.